Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson, and welcome to My Father's Podcast. It is our desire that you be blessed and encouraged by today's message. I will be back later to let you know how you can receive additional information on our ministry at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.
This morning, I feel God wants to honor some of you who have borne the weight while everyone else passes on in safety. Have you ever felt unseen? Have you ever felt passed by? Have you ever seen other people move ahead and it seems like you're stuck? Last week we were in Mark chapter 10 talking about a story. It was the blind man named Bartimaeus. There's a story in the New Testament about a man blind by the side of the road begging and he's stuck. Have you ever been stuck for maybe a decade? Somewhere. This man was blind in his culture. That means there was no government handout. There was no social services. There was no one that cared a thing about him. He was marginalized. He was hopeless. And he was stuck by the side of the road. And he was blind. And he was able to hear other people advancing and going their way. Have you ever felt like every ship is going to its port but yours? Everybody's happy but you. Everybody's successful but you. And you're there listening, stuck. Well, we gave you a word, Deuteronomy 2, verse 3, last week. I'm going to speak it right now again. You've circled this mountain long enough. Now turn north. You've circled this mountain. Ever know the difference between a circle and a spiral? In a circle, you're just getting disciplined and you're learning. But a spiral, you go around once and go up. You're supposed to go around once and then go up. You know, you're not just supposed to go endlessly in a circle. Now, when God is disciplining his children, they go in circles. And you generate a lot of heat and very little light. I don't suppose there's any area of your life where you've generated a lot of heat. That's circularity. Very little light. And you're exhausted. Isn't it funny we're exhausted going in circles? If this church was paid for laps, we'd be billionaires. Because in circles, you just see the same view. All the time. Didn't we see that tree before? Yeah, 40 years, the children of Israel wandered in circularity because they had a leader named Moses. Did you know how great your mentor may be? Moses could only lead them in circles. Remember Charlton Heston with the staff and the Red Sea? Wonderful guy. I'm not demeaning Moses, or lightning might strike me right here. But Moses could only lead in circles. Sometimes there have been people in your life that have been leading you, but they've only been leading you in the circle they're stuck in. Joshua, this morning, we're going to talk about a leader God brought up to lead them in a straight line of conquest. Wouldn't it be delicious to move from busy to fruitful? Wouldn't it be delicious if a shot glass of water brought up a whole harvest of fruit above ground in your life when you've been pouring every bit of water in the house on the wrench garden? In the name of Jesus, the wrench garden will produce nothing forever. Stop watering it. Don't call my relationship a wrench garden. Okay. I won't. Try to unthink that, though. You're going through your mind going, wrench garden. Yeah, apply it. In a business context, in a family context, in a relational context, what is sucking the blood out of you that isn't a vampire? You know, I'm a little woozy. Yeah, you got 14 vampire bats hooked onto you sometimes. And you wonder why you're a little tired. You can have working companions you should not be working with. Come on, it'll exhaust you. When you're with the right folk and the things are lining up, there's a sense of moving from circularity to straight line of conquest, but some of us are allergic to spirals and straight lines. We want it just the way it's been. Blind Bartimaeus was blind and begging, and he was used to that. Have you ever just gotten used to something? Even if it's unhealthy, it's just safe. Your blind beggar's robe has become your security in Christ. You know, just being blind and saying, help, in a relationship, fix me, save me. Please, you're begging. But it's comfortable to beg because to get out of the circle would mean you're going in a straight line, which means it's a new ground. You know, Dr. Henry Cloud talks about the fear of success. We all talk about the fear of failure. Oh, I don't want to try because I might fail. Okay, what about fear of success? Some of us have been paralyzed and stuck. Dr. Cloud was saying he's not an expert golfer, but he always wanted to be a golfer. He's a great man, Issues of the Heart. It's a great book writer, Dr. Henry Cloud. And he loved golf. Golf was his passion in his life until he sustained a physical injury, which made it impossible for him to play professionally. Sometimes a setback is a setup. He didn't get his finest wish, but he became a psychologist that has changed the world. So anyway, he said, I was golfing. I was doing really fantastic. And he said, all of a sudden, I was doing great. And I was in a new league. And it's like people were looking up to me. And he said, I started finding myself sabotaging. I'm shooting into the water, and I'm starting to do crazy stuff. And they said, what are you doing? And he said, you know what? I found out that the reward for responsibility is more responsibility, and I didn't want to succeed, and it was too much pressure. So I sabotaged myself to go back to my, what? Being a blind man begging. Now I know this doesn't apply to you, but you have an aunt that you can give this CD to, right? Someone who's, they're not afraid of failure, they're afraid of success. They go, if I get out of the circle, I'm gonna have to go in a straight line, and then people are gonna want me to go in a straight line. And loved one, I'm here to encourage you today. God will empower you to move from circularity to a straight line of conquest. But let's take a little look at the story here, because there's a lot of text here, but I just want to read and give you an easy word picture, then we're going to unpack that word picture. Joshua 3, 15 through 17. Now, it's been 430 years they were in Egyptian bondage, the children of Israel. Then remember, God raised up Moses, Charlton Heston, right? And the Red Sea was split, and the million people go across on dry ground, and what should have taken them a two-week journey because of their unbelief, 40 years in circularity. Here, the children of Israel are 40 years going in a circle. But God gave central air conditioning. He gave central heating. He gave them manna to eat every day, and their shoes and clothes didn't wear out. They didn't have to go to Nordstrom's ever for 40 years. But you know what they did all 40 years? They complained. Our clothes don't wear out. So you'll complain about anything, right? This manna, we're eating the same thing all the time. The light's too bright. And God said to them, listen, as I live, you will never enter the land. You never want to hear God say that. As surely as I am God, you will never enter the land. So that whole generation, 100 funerals a day for 40 years, until that whole generation died off. And now we have Joshua and all the young desert babies who were born in the wilderness. I'm speaking to some desert babies. You were born in the wilderness. You're comfortable in the wilderness. You've learned the wilderness. You've seen God provide for you in the wilderness. But it's time, desert babies, after all the circularity of training, to get ready, because you're standing on the cusp of the greatest outpouring of God in human history. Did you know we are standing on the brink of the greatest outpouring of God in human history? In the history of our text today, there they are. After 40 years of wandering, Caleb and Joshua, two guys, survived. Ever feel like a remnant? You know what I'm saying? You know, Jesus said most folks in a crowd, when you see a crowd, he said one out of three of them are legit. The rest think they're at an Amway convention. They don't know where they are. He said, when you look at a big crowd, you know, the first thing Jesus did to a crowd was offend them. He'd get up and say, eat my flesh and drink my blood or something. And they'd go, what is he talking about? And Peter would go, Lord, don't. This is bad for PR. We were almost to 1,000 people, and now you've thinned the crowd out. Jesus would always thin and prune the crowd out because he knew one out of three, their heart was right. And so he wanted to prune it down to get to that handful, that remnant group. And that's what he's doing in the church world right now. He's going through the body of Christ. And let me encourage you. He is bringing his fire. It will burn up all that is wood, hay, and stubble, but it will purify the gold and the silver. I'm speaking to some gold and silver vessels. You're not afraid of fire. Gold isn't afraid of fire. Bring it on. Silver isn't afraid of fire because it's only more purified. But wood, hay, and stubble, oop. That's going to burn down. So if you have a ministry built on wood, hay, and stubble, whoopsie doodle. Better have a big fire hose. You know what I'm saying? I mean that even our relationships in our lives, views that we have about God that are false, whatever's wood, hay, and stubble is afraid of the fire. But you be encouraged, because the Lord is only purifying us so that he can use us for his purpose. So here we have Joshua, and I'm just going to tell you what the text says to save time. They're standing at the Jordan River. There's over 1 million people. The Jordan River is in its harvest flood, springtime. Usually you can cross it. It's 100 feet in distance. It's no big deal. But in flood season, there's over a mile of water. And Joshua is standing there, and the whole generation that came out alive out of the wilderness, you know, thank God, you may not have much, but you're alive. Amen. You can praise God for being alive. You may not have all the money in the world, but you're alive. You may have lost a few folk in your life, but you're alive. And all of this group of saints are standing at what seems to be the last geographical block between them and the land of Canaan. Is there anything blocking you from the grapes of Canaan that you want to eat? Canaan was the promised land. It's everything God promised to Moses and Abraham. He said, one day you will be taken to a beautiful land flowing with milk and honey. It's not like Egypt. You have to pump it with your foot to get the land watered. This land will flow. But there was a barrier between them and the grapes, and it was an impossible barrier. Now you could say, well, Craig, couldn't they build a bridge? They didn't have materials to do a man-made thing. What God's about to do for you is not man-made. Well, what if they used boats to cross? Well, that would be a man-made thing. What if they just ford across the river like Alexander the Great's troops used to do? They'd have to build the bundles. They had no materials because God would not allow a man-made strength to take them over to the next season of their life. Have you been exhausted with your own strength? Oh, that's good news because that means God's strength is just about to appear on your behalf. When you can no longer do it, God says, congratulations, now my power just begins. Joshua and all of them are overwhelmed with the Jordan in flood season. This is dangerous, right? So this is how God says, you're not going to use a boat or a bridge. It's nothing to do of your man-made strength, but I'm going to show you a great sign and a wonder. Have you ever thought about poor Joshua following Moses? That's a rough act. That's like following Billy Graham. No pressure, right? Charlton Heston, the Red Sea, the Ten Commandments, and Joshua is in the shadow of Moses. Have you ever been in a shadow of mama or a shadow of daddy or a shadow of someone great in your family line, a brother, a sister, somebody that they got all the Niagara Falls and you got sunstroke? You know, even in a family, two kids sitting apart, one kid can get all the attention and the other kid can starve to death. And Joshua has been serving Moses now for years. And it's finally his time. And you know what God had to tell Joshua three times? Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua knew that. But God had to repeat three times, Moses, my servant, is dead. Your loved one is dead. That relationship may be dead. But we have to realize that it's our time now. You don't exist for someone else. You're responsible to people, but not for people. But it's your time now, Joshua. Moses only led in circles. You have leadership skills that are better. You are about to lead people in a straight line. And as great as your mom or your dad or your family inheritance was, you're greater still. That's not the final chapter of your family's lives. There's something just before you that is greater than what has been behind you. And look at it like the Jordan. Okay, they see a mile of overflowing river. This looks a little intimidating, doesn't it? And underneath is underbrush, like jungle. We just came back from Israel not too long ago. And, you know, you can cross the Jordan, you can spit over the Jordan in most places. But at flood season and harvest time, let me tell you, it's harvest time, loved one. You may not see it yet. But in your life, there's a season of harvest just ahead. But it's going to be preceded by an impossible gulf. And so this is what God says. Make a boat? No. Pick you all up and fly you over? No. He says, get the priests, have them get the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we don't know about the Bible, but remember Raiders of the Lost Ark with Indiana Jones? You remember the little gold box, the first movie, 1982? We don't know Bible, but I'll take you to the movies. Remember Harrison Ford when he was just a baby? Remember? And Hitler's wanting this gold box, right, that had the Ten Commandments in it, and it had a pot of manna, and it had the rod of Aaron that budded, and Hitler wants this to have occultic powers, right? That's the Ark, not Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant. God said, go get that golden box that represents my presence, and have the priests put it on their shoulders. This weighed about a ton, about 3.5 by 2.5 feet. But it was made of acacia wood, indestructible wood. It was overlaid with gold, and on the top was a solid gold seat called the mercy seat, where the blood every year of the sacrifice was placed. And this represented God's power on earth. Wouldn't you love to see God's power on earth? We are going to see it in our generation. And it's not because of some ministry or some big preacher or some, God's going to get all the glory for it. But take heart, loved one. You ain't seen nothing yet. God has not yet revealed his glory in the earth. So here's his answer. God tells the priests, put the ark on your shoulder. That's about 175 pounds a shoulder. You know what weight is. I'm talking to people that know what weight is, what pressure is, what emotional weight is. Some of you have been claustrophobically underweight. You're bearing weight. And the priests were to go to the waters at flood stage where it was lethal for your life. And God said, as soon as they put their feet in the water, I'm going to split the Jordan. Has God ever said something crazy to you like, just step in, but I'll die. Just step in. Just get your foot wet. And these guys, faithful to God, carry the ark and they walk and they put their foot in the Jordan. And lo and behold, the Bible says, all the waters stop one direction and they start heaping up 20 miles away. And above them, they see stacked up all the water of the Jordan River. And the priests are told to go and stand in the middle of that dry area and hold the ark. Get the image? The people are to stay half a mile away from them, distance, and then they're to follow. And then they're to go through on dry ground. Can you imagine over 1.5 million people watching with wide eyes as the Jordan waters stack up by the power of God because the priests obeyed and stood in the middle and bore the ark? Loved one, I'm talking to some priests today. We need to honor the priests in our lives who have stood faithfully. Ephesians 6:13, having done all, stand. Here come the priests. They're probably scared to death too, right? What if a wall of water like 100, 200 feet tall stacks up next to you and the rest of the water just went away, but we don't know where it is. We're waiting for it to come any second. And the ground is dry and they stand in the middle of the Jordan and they carry the Ark of the Covenant and they stand their ground. Well, as they faithfully stand where God put them, do you know what happens? All the people start running across. Do you know because of your faithfulness, other people have run quickly to their destiny? Did you know some of you don't even know this? But just being faithful at what you've done, you've de-mined. You know minefields? Minefields where there are like 30,000 different bombs. You've spent your life taking one step at a time, but you've been diffusing bombs. And so others behind you will be able to run right through what took you 30 years to do. They're going to run by in a second. Think about it. Isn't that true? What if you were able to demine a field and then put a mark where a path is, where there's a guarantee that no explosions will happen? The next generation behind you can run quickly. In 2 minutes, they can get where it took you 30 years to go. And I'll just leave that aside and not touch it too much. You mine experts? See, you don't know by working faithfully and supporting your family. You've been creating a way and a path through your faithfulness that is holding the water back for other people so they can get by. So picture that. They're standing in the middle of the Jordan and over 1 million people start running. It's open about a mile. Have you ever had folks run by and not acknowledge you? Come on. Have you ever had, you're bearing all the weight, you're bearing the glory, you're uncomplaining, well, we won't go that far, but you're standing at your post, you know, 175 pounds on your shoulder, gets a little bit heavy, knees begin to, you know, when you do complain, complain to other priests. Watch who you complain to, watch who you kvetch to. The priests kvetched to one another, not to the people going by. But get the image, because of the priests being faithful, the waters were held back. Because the priests were faithful where they stood, the ground was dry. Because the priests were faithful where they stood, everyone got through. Everyone crossed over the Jordan. Have you ever felt others are maybe passing you by and moving ahead of you? Don't worry. Can you imagine if these priests would have decided, well, I'm depressed, I'm going to leave. You carry, I'm going to give up my 175 pounds of weight holding the ark. You guys do it. No, don't quit, loved one. I know you're tempted to be weary in well-doing, but Paul said, we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Keep standing in what's right. No matter what all your friends do, keep being responsible before God. Stand where he's put you. It literally is holding back waters you don't see for others. It's keeping the ground dry. It's allowing them to swiftly get to where they need to be, all because you have been faithful. Thank you. I just feel Jesus saying to so many of you, thank you for not quitting. Thank you for not killing yourself. Thank you for not giving in. Fathers, thank you for showing up. Mamas, thank you so much when you could have done other things that you invested in your beautiful children. Thank you, brothers, sisters, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, everyone who, you don't even know it, but you've been standing in the middle of the Jordan holding up the glory. But the good news, they all got across safely. You know, the devil's always telling you, you'll never make it, you're going to die, give up now, shoot yourself, it's only going to get worse. Keep moving. Keep moving. That's how Lincoln got it. Keep moving. Don't sit down. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to the theater and I'm just going to sit down. Stand your ground. Don't give in. You're weary and well-doing. Good news. Stand there. Loved one, because of you, Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust to forget your labors of love on his behalf and on behalf of all the saints. That's his way of saying, thank you, faithful priest. And by the way, are there any priests in your life or priestesses that you need to thank? You know, it was Father's Day a few weeks ago. You know, mothers get all the good sermons. Fathers usually get the 5 points of discipline, or you know what I mean? On Father's Day, it's usually 10 things you should be doing. Or on Father's Day, we said, we're celebrating you guys. I want to encourage whatever life is in you. Because just because you're being daddy frightens the enemy, holds the water back, dries the ground, and lets other people be who they're called to be. You know, Martin King used to say, if you be yourself, you give other people permission to be themselves. Just do you. You don't have to be the prettiest vessel, the smartest vessel. You have to be a yielded vessel. You don't need to be gold or silver. No, you don't have to be. You may not be the prettiest or most handsome thing. You may not be the richest thing in the world, but you are you. And God has caused you to be born an original, don't die a copy. You're a voice, not an echo. I always like to say that. You're a voice, not an echo. And if you'll just stand your ground and just keep taking baby steps, you know, defuse the next mine. What was that movie? It was called Hurt Locker. Did you ever see that movie, Hurt Locker, where they're over and they're defusing bombs on the ground? I couldn't even watch it. I was so nervous. I'd bite my fingernails and toenails off. Because the guy gets to a line where he's going to defuse a bomb and he lifts it up and there's like 7 on it. And there's snipers all over. All they got to do is shoot one, and they're all going to go off. Some of you have been living in the Hurt Locker. You know, you trace one line and go, I've got to defuse this one bomb in my family, then everything will be all right, and you pull up 7. Don't get discouraged. Cheer up. It's getting worse. But no, don't quit, though. Just do the next right thing. When you don't know what to do, do the next right thing. Stand your ground. Don't give up. I know it's heavy, but God put you there for a reason. I know it's heavy. Don't worry. What happened after the 1.5 million people crossed? Well, guess what happened? Nothing, because the priests were still standing there and Joshua was on the shore. Now they got 1.5 million witnesses in an audience looking at the priests. See, you thought no one was seeing you. No one knows the pressure you've been under, by the way, but you and God. Don't ever think there's enough thanks in the world. You're never going to get the applause in this life that you deserve. Just grieve it now. There, it's gone. Right? Grieve it. There's never enough thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I'm obsessively thank you oriented. I mean, you give me a stick of gum. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, I've never had such a wonderful piece of gum. And I teach my kids to be slavishly thankful. Do you know why? Because kvetching and complaining is what didn't let that generation in the wilderness. Wasn't adultery? What's your top 10? Well, you know what it was? Ingratitude. That's what got God so miffed. You know, snapping at the waitress. Excuse me, we're here to order. Thank you. I said this was to be cooked. Could you take this back? I know someone that will turn back anything. If they ate manna, they'd turn it back. In heaven, they're going to complain about the 12 fruits. It's a little better. Mine's better. I don't understand. Do you know? Maybe, loved one, God's withheld you from entering into the promised land because you're a little bitter and you need to get better. I'm wrapping up.
You're wrapping?
I'm wrapping. Deuteronomy 6:23 says, he led them out in order that he might lead them in. Did you know all of life is leaving and entering? You leave the womb to enter into life. You leave kindergarten to enter into first grade. You leave singleness to enter into marriage. You leave, being a kid into the workplace. And then you enter into from singleness to marriage and blah, 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 blah. All of life is leaving and entering, leaving and entering, leaving and entering. Okay? Have you got that yet? But here's the point. How you leave a state of affairs dictates how you enter in to the next. If you leave that church bitter, you're going to take the gall of bitterness into the next one. If you leave that relationship in hate, you're going to enter into the next one with hatred. Now, I don't mean you individually. I mean you generally. What you do with the first thing dictates what happens to the rest. Why do we talk about first fruits giving or tithing or anything? It's a principle. What you do with the first portion dictates what happens to the rest. What you'd give of your firstborn child dictates the rest of what happens. It's a principle. It's not legalism. Okay? It's not legalism. It just simply says, when the children of Israel ran into the first city, Jericho, you know what they did? It was put under the ban and dedicated as a tithe to the Lord, and no one could touch anything. Except Achan took a Rolex and a Babylonian garment from Nordstrom's. Because he touched what was God's. So here's the point. How you leave a state of affairs dictates how you enter in. That's how it works. So are we ready to have open hearts and clean hands and let God wash the bitterness away right now? Let him wash. This is where we're going right now. Want to wash away all the unforgiveness that you're holding against that loved one, dead or alive? It's time for us to move in a straight line, honey, but we can't sometimes cross the Jordan until there's been some forgiveness. Maybe someone's alive right now and you know them and you will not talk to them. And if you ran into them in the mall, it would be the worst experience of your life. It's time to forgive them right now, this morning. You don't need to call on the phone yet or do it. They may be dead. How do you get past someone who's already gone to heaven? You forgive. You say, you probably meant it and you did me wrong, but you know what? Jesus has forgiven me everything I've ever done and I can't withhold my forgiveness from you. We need to move forward. But bitterness will poison where we go. You see, if you're a bitter woman, you're not going to draw anything but bitterness into your life. If you're a man that's a bitter well, you'll only have bitter friends drawn to you. It's a spiritual drawing to you. If you're a complainer, you only draw a host of complainers and you all complain. Isn't it true? When you're negative, everyone in your circle is negative and they're all criticizing. But you can be the first one in your family line who gets sweet and stays sweet, who breaks the circle and goes in a straight line. And it's not your strength. All you have to do now is admit, I'm powerless, Craig. I'm totally weak. I'm a total failure in my own strength. Good for you. That's all God's looking for. You don't have to be good. You just have to be available. He'll make you good.
That's right.
See? Don't say no to sin. Say yes to Jesus. This right now as we conclude our service. Thank you to those of you who have borne the weight of responsibility. Daddies and mamas. That when it's been difficult and hard, you just maintained your ground, having done all you've stood. Well, you don't even see it, but your obedience has held back the water, dried the ground, and everyone has gone to freedom because of you. Thank you. It's not a crown in this earth. It's not a laurel wreath from the world. Your own family probably doesn't even see it, but Jesus does. And he looks at you with such compassion, little priest. And he says, thank you for bearing the weight. Even young people, you've been faithful. You've kept your life. You haven't just gone ahead and done everything you other friends are doing. Good for you. The Lord says, thank you. You haven't gone and ruined and wrecked your life like other people you know. Good for you. The Lord is proud of you. Keep going. He's going to bring yours to you. He's going to bring you a beautiful relationship. He's going to bring you a new open door. And I want to thank all the priests. You have priestly faces that shine the glory of God. Thank you. You have priestly eyes that see the process in others, and you're patient with them. Thank you. You have priestly eyes that see gold and silver, and you know what's involved in the process. You know what the purification process is, but you've got priestly eyes. God bless you for that. You got priestly noses. You can smell the frankincense and all the work of the temple. God bless you. Those of you with priestly ears who can hear the true cry of a heart beyond the confused words someone's mumbling, you hear the heart. God bless you. And you have priestly shoulders that are bearing an unbearable weight. Thank you. And you have priestly feet standing right where God puts you. He'll move you on in due course. Thank you. And at the very end, all the priests slowly moved towards the shore. And as they did, the water filled in behind them, didn't swamp them, it gently filled the river, and they all watched as the priest safely arrived on the other side. Loved one, you are safely going to arrive on the other side. And it's a new day of hope, encouragement, refreshment, and busyness will replace fruitfulness in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Can you thank God? Can you clap your hands and say, yes, Lord, that's for me. I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to take root downward and bear fruit upward. Do you know where the important work is? Underground. Roots. Roots. Every tree is as tall as its roots. The roots are first. Some of you have roots for 30 years going under the ground. Good for you. When that thing sprouts up on top, it's going to hold forever. Do you know the Bible says we're like palm trees in the scriptures? The palms have deeper roots than you know. You know you're deeper than you know? They're flexible. They can touch the ground. You're more flexible than you know? They have fruit that gets sweeter with age. Someone say amen with that one. I need an amen right there. And palm trees give shade to nourish those that are out in the sun. You're deeper than you know. You're more flexible than you know. You're shading more people in delicious shade. When they're dying and your fruit's getting sweeter. Did you ever wish you were in your teens again? Or I wish I was in my 20s, or I wish I could redo. Just be your decade, honey. Just be a palm tree. Roots deep, flexible, sweet fruit. God will take care of everything. And palm trees, by the way, grow in an impossible ground. You see them in the desert, in the middle of nowhere, and they're shining, just like you.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.